anything out of our Growing Up Spiritually series? Anybody? You know, it's funny. It's like studying this stuff. I learn a lot myself. I even studied this years and years ago, periodically, many different times. And you always learn something new if you open yourself up and allow yourself to be teachable with the Word of God. So let's go ahead and get our Bibles out. Let's get our Bible apps. I like using my phone. If you like to take physical notes, let's get those out. You know, sometimes I saw, you know, going through school and whatnot, you see a lot of people dozing in class. But then they're the ones calling you up when the final exam is coming up like, oh, I wasn't in class. Yeah, you were. You were just asleep. You know, when we take notes in church, it's not just about making sure you don't fall asleep. It's about making sure that you have something you can chew on. Maybe even look back the scriptures again and look over the notes. You know, the Lord will speak to you while you're sitting here, but many times I'll go back over my notes and look at scriptures and he'll reveal things almost kind of like in layers. He gives you more information, more revelation, and that's why I like to go back over my notes. Plus, when you're writing those references, writing different pieces of what we're looking at, it helps us remember. You know, I don't know about you, but it's, I have to remember things. I have to go back over. I might make one recipe every single year, every month or whatever, something my kids like to eat. And I still have to go back to the recipe, right? It's like, wait, I gotta make sure I don't forget. So with us human beings, it's good to keep it in front of us. Plus, the Word of God says that we need to read the Word every day. We need to look at it every day. And it's kind of like when we look at ourselves in the mirror in the morning. Have you, ladies, anybody like have to look at yourself like 20 times before you actually walk out the door? It's like, okay, I'm looking at myself. Okay, does this look okay? All right. Oh, wait, make sure, you know. Oh, did I do my hair right? Okay. And then like that one last time, like we're going to be late. I know. I just need to make sure I look okay. That's the Word. We have to keep looking at it, looking at it, looking at it, because we'll forget, right? So that's why I like to take notes. So let's pray before we get in the Word. Father, we love you. We glorify you. And we just want to open ourselves up to the Holy Spirit this morning as you speak. Lord, I pray that you would give me utterance, Father, that the very words that you would have said would be said this morning, that the ears that we have, Father, would be open to hear the Spirit as he speaks today, Father, that the eyes of our understanding would be enlightened this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So last week, we were looking at different kinds of people here on the earth, and there's three of them. Does anybody remember the names that we looked at? The natural, the carnal, and the spiritual man or woman. The natural man is somebody who's never been born again. They're still in a natural state. They have never been recreated. So they don't have a relationship with God. They are a natural man. And that was all of us in this room before we received Christ. Then there's the carnal man. The carnal man or woman is somebody who has received Christ, who has been born again, but has never spiritually grown up. They've never been developed spiritually. And we're going to look into it for our last message this morning in this series. We're going to look at that a little bit more specifically. But a carnal person has chosen not to grow up. And what tends to be the attributes of a carnal person is that they're touchy, they're irritable, they're cranky, right? If things don't go their way, they cry, they bellyache. And we can boil it down to the fact that they are body ruled, or they make decisions and they live their life based on physical senses, physical knowledge. They are not yielded to the Holy Spirit. They are not ruled by the Word of God. But a spiritual man or woman is someone who has brought themselves to a position where they've been developed in divine things. They have risen above the intellect and the body, and they allow God to govern their life through the Word. So you say, well, how do I get from point A to point B? Well, we see the first two, obviously, you need to be born again, right? Okay, so then point B to point C, the second two, is that we have a decision. Are we going to go from babyhood or childhood to adulthood? And we learned last week that we cannot grow from prayer. We cannot grow from fasting. That's not how we grow. We also looked at the fact that we can't even grow when we have supernatural experiences. We can't grow even when the gifts of the Spirit are in operation. How do we grow? We grow by reading and practicing the Word of God. So today, let's look at our last point, part four, that the only way we're going to grow well, grow strong, is that we need to eat the right diet. Yay, that's exciting, right? Okay, so let's look at the natural. We have a newborn in the house today. And for those of you who have children, and they're all different ages, we know that when a baby is first born, the only thing that they can handle is milk. But we also understand that that milk is essential for growth and development. If they don't eat, we see very quickly that physically they go downhill. They have to have the calories, they need the nutrients, right? So I'm not gonna go into great detail, but we see as they grow month to month that they're gonna be able to eat cereal, and then they get into fruits and veggies, and they start to get into the chunkier foods where they have to chew it, and then they want their own fork and spoon, and then they want their own plate, you know, and then they wanna eat what brother and sister are eating. They want to eat what mom and dad are eating, and you start cutting it into tinier pieces and then maybe larger pieces. And as they grow, we see that they graduate into being able to eat what everyone else is eating. Then when they go to school, they need to have easy open packages, right? Like the fruit roll-ups and the juice boxes. They're so much fun. And they go to school, but then you start to notice as they hit middle school, high school, they want to start helping in the kitchen. They want to start cooking themselves. They want to start helping with dinner, right? And then when they get to be old enough and they start having those molars come in, right? They want to start eating tough meat. And their taste buds start to develop. And you say, well, this is a little tedious. What I'm trying to display is we see that in the natural, we start with a very, very small diet that we're able to digest. By the time we reach adulthood, anybody consider themselves a foodie? You love putting flavors together. You love just tasting food. You don't even have to have a lot of it. I just want to have a taste, right? You just enjoy the flavors. Well, you didn't start out that way, right? And you also probably learned through school that, you know, fruit roll-ups and sugar puffs and all this stuff might be tasty, but it's not going to help you grow, right? It's not going to help you develop. You need the veggies. And, you know, you heard mom in your ear growing up, you need to eat your food, you need to eat all your veggies, right? We need protein, we need milk and other fruits and vegetables. You know, I even looked it up yesterday that fruits and vegetables, they have vitamins that we need for our organs, right? Development. And you see that whenever there is a nation or a family that goes without specific nutrients in their home, disease shows up. Right? Underdevelopment is present, and you see malnutrition. So how much more spiritually can we see these things in our own lives when we don't eat the right diet? Anybody raise your hand that you've been in church for more than 10 years? How about more than 20 years? 30 years? 50 years? I'm going to start going until the hands go down. Good job. You guys win. But, you know, it's interesting that even though we could be in church for all of our life and we're in our 60s, 70s, we could be eating the wrong diet, spiritually speaking. And this is where we see malnutrition in the church. This is where we see underdevelopment in the church. What do we need to eat as believers? Well, first of all, we understand the first thing we need to be eating is this entire Word of God. From cover to cover, there is information in here, there is knowledge, there is understanding, there is revelation. And we need to understand from Genesis to Revelation what it was that God's plan of redemption. Why did Adam and Eve have trouble? Why is there so much bad in the earth? What did Jesus actually do? What am I supposed to be doing today in 2019? What does the Bible say about the future? It's all right here. So this is something that we need to devour, right? We don't need to just listen to messages. We don't just need to read other Christian books. This is what we need to know from cover to cover. Now, particularly, we are not in the Old Testament anymore, y'all. The Old Covenant is called old for a reason. It is a promise and the law and other things that mostly are to the Jewish people before Christ. Now, obviously, there's things that do apply to us today. There are things that we need to learn and understand. But we are not going to fully understand unless we move out of the Old Testament. Many principles, like I said, apply to us, but it was mainly for those who were of the Jewish culture before Jesus. Even the Gospels are not just beneficial for the church. The Gospels are actually mainly for the world. The four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, are mainly for the world. Again, we wouldn't know who Jesus was if we didn't read them. We wouldn't understand how we were redeemed, what salvation means, unless we read them. But you and I, as New Testament believers, need to be devouring the epistles in the New Testament. You say, what are the epistles? Epistle is just a fancy word for letter. And the letters that we're talking about today in the New Testament are specifically Romans through Revelation. These letters were written by the apostles. You've got Peter, you've got James. Then you've got Paul, who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament. You've got other disciples and apostles that wrote in the New Testament. But see, what those letters cover is who we are in Christ. The Gospels and the Old Testament do not cover these realities. And this is why that is where you and I need to be hanging out. Romans through Revelation. Even more specifically, let's just continue to boil it down. 1 Corinthians 13 and the entire book of 1 John. And you say, well, what do those things cover? Well, you can definitely go study it for yourself, but it is ultimately about love. Yay! Aren't you glad you came to church today? You say, well, what is so significant? I mean, the epistles cover so much information, so much knowledge. Well, God is love. And see, the Old Testament didn't cover a lot of that because there was so much sin in the earth, just like today, except Jesus was not there yet. The sacrifice had not happened yet. There was a law, there were rules, there were principles that people had to live according to, and it was all out of the mercy of God in order for sin to be covered, but it was never actually washed away. And so people didn't really have that love relationship that we can have today because Jesus was not in the middle. Do you understand what I'm saying? So God is love. He never changed over time, right? He is the same today, yesterday, and forever. But what's cool is that when we receive Christ, then his nature of love is shed abroad or smeared all over your heart. You're completely taken over with his nature. Let's look at our first scripture today, Matthew 22, 35 through 40. It says, then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Jesus said to him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets." So what is Jesus saying? Everything you guys learned and lived by before, the Old Testament, the law, the Ten Commandments, all of that hangs on these two commandments. So what does that mean? That means Jesus took the entire law and completed it. So now we no longer have to stay stuck on the Ten Commandments. We look at what Jesus said is now, love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as yourself. So let's look at Romans 13:9. It says, "For the commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, you shall not covet, and if there is any other commandment, are all summed up in this saying, namely, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law." So I said all of that to say this. Where do we need to eat? What is the correct diet for a believer today? 1 Corinthians 13, the book of 1 John, all the epistles, the entire word of God. Does that make sense? So today we live in, yes, the grace, right? We like to say grace. God's grace is sufficient. That's another scripture. But it's more than just grace. Grace does not give us permission to live the way we want to live. Grace is a new life in Christ where God's ability comes upon you and within you to do the things that you are incapable of doing. But we need to understand as well that we are in the age of love. Because you and I are born again, we have the very nature of God within us. But if we don't read in these areas and practice them, we will not grow. It is just a fact. It will not happen. So growing in love and walking in love is found in spiritually maturing believers. We all know that with children, quarreling and strife are prominent. They're always fighting. Don't touch me. That's mine. Don't look at me. Mom, there's always quarreling. There's always strife. But how much quarreling and strife do we see in the church? Children, that's childish. Right? We're supposed to be childlike to the Father, but not childish. There's a big difference. You know, we all begin at the same place when we become born again. Spiritually, we start little, and then we can grow as we decide to apply the Word of God to our lives. But when we start seeing selfishness, sensitivity, being easily hurt, envious, jealous, backbiting, gossiping, questioning, assuming, right, in the negative, then those are red flags that spiritual immaturity is prominent. And there's a lot of opportunities for this. Don't get me wrong, it's not like I've arrived, not at all. There's an enemy that will try to plant thoughts, ideas, and suggestions, but you don't even need Satan to help you with this, right? You have family, you have coworkers, you have friends who just might get a little cray-cray sometimes, right? And they just might have a plan, and Thanksgiving is coming, right? So we have holidays, and then we get demographics together. We got family that we haven't seen in years, and I thought Ashley was gonna bring the pie. No, I thought Mom was gonna bring the pie, and there's no pie. And somebody was really looking for that pumpkin pie, and then they just want to go off. Childish, right? And you know, we've all been in the same position where you're the one in the corner rolling your eyes, like, really? Really? But then on the other side of the coin, we've all been that person who's gotten a little cray-cray, and everybody else is rolling their eyes at me, right? We all find ourselves in that position. So none of us have arrived, but what we're discussing today is basically to just specify what the Bible says about all of this, and that we can grow past these things. It is possible. Exhortations in growth comes from reading the Word of God. There's no need to stay underdeveloped. We have the strength of God within us. We have His ability to help us. But here's a big thing. We need to be careful that we do not become dull of hearing. You say, well, what does that mean? That means that when you come to church and you've heard that message before, or you turn on the TV and you've heard that message before, the Lord knows who's coming to church every Sunday, doesn't He? And when the pastors that you're submitted to are being led of the Holy Spirit, He knows what is going to be necessary for that message. And so as a more mature believer, we have to be careful that we don't come to church saying, man, I can't wait. Oh, I heard that before. As if there's nothing else that we can learn. Because what happens is that when there's a dull of hearing and your ears go silent, what tends to happen is what? Let's just speak naturally speaking. Your mind starts to wander, doesn't it? Starts to become distracted. Oh, look at what she's wearing. Oh, I wonder what football game's coming on this afternoon. And what happens is our mind becomes focused on what's not as important as the Word of God being taught. And that seed is just as important for you as it is for me, and I may have heard it a million times before. But the Word of God needs to be allowed to grow in our life. You know, every year, the planting season comes back. Do we just decide, nah, I'm just not gonna plant anything, even if that's the way that you receive your produce? You know, you can decide, I'm just gonna go to the store this year. But do you stop buying a particular vegetable just because you decided not to grow it? No. I love zucchini. I love it. Love butternut squash, right? Love carrots. But I don't grow my own vegetables. Just because I don't grow them doesn't mean I'm not gonna go purchase them, right? Just because I've had zucchini a million times before, I may not make it this week, but next week I'm probably gonna crave it again, right? Because I love it. When we stay teachable, when we stay hungry, it doesn't matter what is being taught. I want more. Tell me more. Because even though I have been a Christian since I was 5 years old, I have not arrived. And I want to continue to grow. Amen? So we need to be careful about that because we have all the tools that we need. There's no reason why we cannot stay in a growth track, right? When our kids decide, I just don't want to go to school today, get your rear end on the bus, get your rear end in the car, we are going to school today. Do we allow them just to stay home because they don't want to learn that day? No, but spiritually speaking, we as adults have to take on the responsibility of feeding ourselves and making sure that we grow. Let's kind of think of it like this. 2 Timothy 3, let's look at that scripture real quick. Paul is talking about some specific types of people, and you can read the context there, of who to avoid, who to be careful. You know, we see a lot in the world where people are lovers of themselves. They're all about pleasure, right? And we can quickly say, oh yeah, I see that in the world today, for sure. But what about the church? Lovers of themselves, just about pleasure, right? Specifically, I wanted to look at verse 7. It says, always learning, but never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Let's put it like this. Always going to church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. Running from church to church. Running from meeting to meeting. Learning, 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 learning. But never arriving. Well, how can you tell? Well, let's just look at when calamity shows up and see what happens with those individuals. What comes out of their mouth? The first thing that they think of when calamity happens. Is it fear? Is it pain? Is it extreme? Is it sickness? What is it? Because those who are spiritually mature, who have allowed themselves to be developed, the first thing that comes is the Word of God. Now, does that mean that you just get to a point in your spiritual age that all of a sudden fear doesn't affect you or you never have a bad thought? Absolutely not. Jesus faced it himself in the garden. He even processed it, and you can see that. Father, let this cup pass from me. But no matter what, let your will be done. And if Jesus is our example, then we need to learn from this. Calamity is going to come. How do you know this? The Bible says Jesus said, in this world, in this life, you will have tribulation. Just know that it's coming. May not be today, may not be this week, but it's coming. You're going to have tribulation, but be of what? Good cheer. How many Christians do you know that the first thing that they do when calamity comes is, yes, hallelujah, right? You never see that. But James says, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Why? Because we know that those trials help us to produce patience. And let patience have her perfect work. Well, that's not comfortable. Right, but that's the difference between growing up and remaining a child. Anytime pain shows up, anytime we get squeezed, what's the first thing that comes out? That's how you'll know where you are spiritually. It's not easy when property is taken unfairly. It's not easy when you don't feel well and you still have to go to work. It's not easy when things happen out of your control and it affects you tremendously. But aren't you glad that we have the power of God inside of us? That greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And we can overcome this. We can rise above it. But see, the spiritual child will never experience that. Why? Because they're not willing to submit their senses, their body, their mind to the Word of God. That when the first thought they think is contrary to the Word, they refuse to speak that thought. They go to the Word and find something else to say. You see what I'm saying? So whenever you feel squeezed, the first thing that wants to rise up, think about what you're thinking about. Think about what's on your heart. Is it fear or is it peace? Is it reason? Is it what the doctors are saying? Is it what your family's saying? Is it contrary to the Word of God? Or are you going to speak what God says? This is where the shift happens. You know, I've had many people say, you just don't care. You're just not being sensitive. Well, that's funny, because God told me to cast my care. That doesn't mean that I'm not thinking about the issue. That doesn't mean I'm not praying about the issue. And then the Bible says I'm not supposed to be sensitive and easily worked up about things and anxious, right? Because when I do that, then I'm not allowing God to work on my behalf. I'm trying to figure it out on my own. Do you see the difference here? So Ephesians 5, it says, therefore be imitators of God. Remember, we're in the New Testament. The children of Israel could not be imitators of God because their heart was still a heart of stone. It was not recreated in his image. See what I mean? So you and I not only are commanded and instructed, but we have been equipped to be imitators of God. It says in verse 2, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice. Let's look at John 13. It says, a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. It's not how pretty your church is. It's not how many scriptures we know. It's about love. And love is not a Valentine's card. Love is not making sure all of your coworkers have a Christmas present. Love is praying for someone who's talking about you behind your back. Love is giving somebody a hug who stole something from you. That's true love. And if God is asking us to be imitators of him, and you and I have the love of God shed abroad in our heart, and we don't live in the Old Testament anymore, this is how people are going to know that we've been with Jesus. But this is also where you and I are going to grow up spiritually. This is where you and I are actually going to be able to tap into the abundant life that God has sent Jesus for. You say, man, I got to do all this just to get what God already promised for me. It's not about self-denial. That's not what this is about. This is not about us going home or going to work and allowing people to take advantage of us. That's not what this is. This is about being the bigger person. This is about allowing the power of God to move in us and through us. I've even had people say to Aaron and myself, you know, why would you do this for me? Why? And they say these things because they know deep down they don't deserve this, and they know what they've been saying. Have you ever had somebody come into your presence and they can't just have eye contact with you? Why? Because there's something going on behind the scenes. And their heart is convicting them, and they know they weren't doing the right thing. But here you come as if nothing happened, paying no attention to a suffered wrong. That's what 1 Corinthians 13 says. You say, well, what about me, though? What about mine? This is where God says, vengeance is mine. Because his vengeance, we always look at the Old Testament picture of the wrath of God, you know, he's going to send the lightning down and strike them. No, the vengeance of God says, you know what? You're doing what I told you to do by walking in love. You are protected. You are blessed. I'm going after them. And the first thing he's going to do is what? Love. And he's going to overwhelm them with his love by saying, now you know what you did wasn't right. Now you need to make it right. You need to apologize. You need to give that back. You need to quit saying what you're saying. That's God. And if people don't choose to continue in that repentance, he'll take care of the rest. You will get back what was taken from you. He will see to it. He's got your back. Look, I can't see God like I can see Julie here. But he's more real than Julie is real. He created her. So if he was here before she was, he already took care of what I'm going to walk through tomorrow. You hear what I'm saying? So this love walk is not about us going under and losing out. It's about winning and having victory and actually growing spiritually, because we know through Sunday school that Galatians 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. Anybody know the fruit of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience. What's the first one? Love. And we know that this fruit comes from us because Jesus said that he is the vine and we are the branches. Well, where does fruit grow? The fruit grows on the branch. And who are the branches? We are. But here's the thing, like I was saying earlier, if we do not allow the word of God to grow us up, that fruit will not grow. See, you and I have love within us because that's what God placed inside of us. But you and I both know there are many Christians where we don't see that in experience. We don't see that out in the open. This is why a lot of the world will say, well, I'm not giving a church another chance. Those people are nothing but hypocrites. Those people are nothing but hateful. Those people are nothing but ugly to me. Because they don't yield themselves to the growth process. We get born again and then we stay stuck and we don't grow. But see, we're never going to grow out of babyhood unless we learn to feed on the Word of God that teaches us what love really is, and then we apply it. See, 1 Corinthians 10 says, let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Think about that. Let's read that again. Let no one seek his own. Let's let that sink in for a second. How many of us get up for work every day thinking about our bills, our food, our needs, what we're going to do this weekend, what our family needs? Are you thinking about your coworkers and what they need? Probably not. And I'll just be honest, I haven't been, right? Paul challenges the church. Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being. Now, of course, without going into great detail, there's scripture that obviously we need to work, we need to put our hands to something, but that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about being negligent on your responsibilities. I'm talking about making your entire existence centered on me, myself, and I. And me and my family, and that's it. And if you come over to my house, you better bring your own food because I don't know if we're going to have enough. Do you see what I'm saying? There's a sense of love that is exceedingly abundant and it becomes generous. And then instead of using ourselves as being the provider, as soon as we change over, we say, you know what, Lord? I just made enough food for four people, but this person is really hurting. They called me. Bring them over. I'm just going to believe God that we have enough for them, or I'm just going to go back out to the store and make sure we have enough. You see what I'm saying? There is love that can be grown, or it can stay dormant. If it stays dormant, we will never move past the stage that we are in right now. So how do we move this? And I'm going to close with this. How do we move out of childhood? How do we grow in the things of God? How do we grow in this thing called love? Well, we talked about it earlier as we read the Word, but it's not just about reading Scripture. It's about renewing the mind. It's about renewing the mind. We've all had things spoken over us growing up. We've all had things taught to us growing up. Even though it has become a part of our lives, if it is not according to the Word of God, it needs to be taken out, uprooted, and changed. Well, if somebody does me wrong, fill in the blank. What were you taught as a child? Right? What were you taught in your home growing up? How did you see your parents deal with people? How did you see your brother and sister or your cousins deal with people? How do you see your coworkers dealing with people? If they treat me wrong, oh, I'm just not going to talk to her this week. Right? It sounds funny when we talk about it openly like this, but you know it happens on a daily basis. Childish. It's childish. And if someone finds out that I'm a Christian, what witness do I have? What makes me different than the world? You know, Paul spoke to the carnal people in 1 Corinthians. You can look at it. From last week, we saw the scripture. Paul said, it's as if you've never been born again. Quarreling, fighting, jealous. You know, even when there's correction that's brought into our lives for a benefit for us, how do we respond? Do we react? Well, as if you're perfect, like you've got it all together, right? Or go cry to somebody and say, can you believe that they said this to me? And or do we just rise to the challenge and say, you know what, you're right. You know, it doesn't feel good to hear that, but I can make some adjustments because we're all growing. See, what we need to learn how to do is hear down here. Not through our body, not through our emotions, not through our mental knowledge. But when that correction comes, is that person speaking by the Holy Spirit? Do you even know? Can you even discern that? We can know by knowing the Word, because the Holy Spirit would never say anything outside of the Bible. Is it said in love, even though it's truth? What does love say? Well, 1 Corinthians 13, do you know what that says? Love is kind. Love is patient. But here's what we don't like is when love does not rejoice in injustice or unrighteousness. See, when we're out of line, God brings correction because he wants us in line. Well, how dare you challenge me on how I want to live my life, right? But is it done in love? Is it according to God's word? This is where it starts to get uncomfortable. Because if I'm not yielding myself to the word of God, like Paul was saying, we need to examine ourselves. And if I'm living my life day to day just about me and mine, I'm not going to take the time to examine myself. You know why? Because it's comfortable to me. It's what works for me. And it's not about you. It's about what God can do for me. It's not about what God wants to do with me for you. It's about me and mine. So if I know that God's grace is sufficient and I know that Jesus loves me, then I'm going to heaven. And if it's just about me and mine, I'm not going to take the time to examine myself. Because in my heart, it doesn't matter. You see where I'm going with this? But then as soon as I want to say, Father, I want to grow. Show me more. What do you want to do with my life? This is where he starts a journey. Anybody read the book, Hinds Feet on High Places? It's a great symbolic story of our walk with Christ. But as soon as we say, Father, take me to the next level, this is where the journey begins. This is where a lot of people get back off. Because the first thing that he wants to do is, okay, now let's look in this closet over here. This is where I want to clean this stuff out, right? But I want to hold on to this stuff. I need this person in my life. I need to do this. This is how I live. I mean, I just can't get up early. I just can't stop eating that. I just can't. No. Why would the Holy Spirit take the time to start looking at these things? Because he wants you to grow. And these things may not be sinful, but Paul talked about things that hold us back and easily trip us up. So he starts to clean that stuff up. And then he says, okay, let's go back over into this room. Really? I just got over that. That's painful over here. No. Let me show you some things. You're doing great over here. Good job. But I want you to work on this, and I'm going to send somebody to you to help you. But I'm just going to give you a heads up. Your personalities are not going to be the same. But it's because of that that their strength will help you grow in the area of sensitivity, maybe arrogance, touchiness. Because the Bible says that the older needs to teach the younger. Well, why would they need to do that? Because the younger doesn't know. Look, I was in my 20s. I thought I knew a lot. Now I'm in my 30s, and I know I don't. And when I'm in my 40s, I'm going to keep knowing that I know less than what I thought I knew. And then what does he do? He says, okay, now I'm going to start showing you what I want to do in you. Because now you've gotten to a place where you can actually believe for that. So you start to see 10 years down the road, 15 years down the road, and you get excited. Right? I'm going somewhere. The Holy Spirit's moving in this direction. He starts to show you things, and this is where impatience wants to come up. Oh, right now? Okay, great. Let's do this. Or, are you sure? Like Moses spent that whole hour trying to persuade God that he was not the right person, right? And God says, no. Just pray it out. But I'm giving you a glimpse to let you know how much I trust you, how much I love you, what I actually created you for. And guess what? It will never be a dream about just you and yourself. It will never be a dream about just me and mine. It will always, always, always be a dream of reaching hundreds and thousands of people for him. That's why you and I were placed on this earth, and that's why we're here in 2019 in Silva, North Carolina. None of this is by accident. None of it. He knew who your parents were going to be. He knew the things that you would get into. He knew what was going to happen. But the Bible says that the gifts that he's given us are never given in repentance, which means that he's not looking at mistakes and going, oh, never mind, give that back. No way. He says, look, I still love you, but if you will be willing to actually work out the word of God in your life and allow me to clean out your world, renewing your mind, putting your body in submission to the word of God, that's where we can start making some headway. Have you ever just found yourself year after year after year after year going, man, this is getting old. I should be further than this. You might see your friends doing their thing and you're going, why am I still stuck here? And it's not always a comparison of where everybody else is. It's not what I'm saying, but you know in your heart you're not as far as you should be. Anybody resonate with that? Because I've been there. This is where, instead of being frustrated, instead of just wanting to quit, this is where we can dig deeper. Because what's happening is the inside of you, your spirit, is yearning for what it is that you were created for. Jobs are necessary. That's what we need to do to make money. Family is who we were placed in to be a part of, to speak into their life. But you were not placed on this earth to just clock in, clock out, pay bills. That is not your destiny. It will happen while you're here on the earth. You will have to have income. We have bills to pay because we live in this earth and that's how things are run. But that is not why you were here. God has a job for you inside your job. God has a job for you in your own ministry. God has a job for you in your family. He has a job for you to do. And we can get caught up in what the world tells us that we need to be spending time on. But right here is where it counts. If you and I will be willing, he's going to take us on a journey that next year, you'll look back and not even recognize yourself. Amen? Well, let's stand together this morning. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, for your goodness this morning. We thank you, Father, for your exhortation, Lord God, to help us come higher, to go farther and go deeper in you today. Lord, we want to yield ourselves to you, Father. We submit to your word this morning. And Father, as we go about our day today, Father, help us to look for ways to just apply what we've learned today, but also to remember to pull away and get into your word today. Maybe it's been weeks, maybe it's been months that we've actually opened up the Bible, but Father, help us, Lord, to become intentional with our time with you, so that as we spend time in your word, Father, you begin to reveal yourself, you begin to speak, we begin to see ourselves in the word, we begin to grow and change. And this is just an additional word of exhortation. Your friends are going to notice the change. That doesn't mean that you're the one that's weird. The change that's happening in your life is supernatural. And the reason it bothers them is because they're stuck. And if they're not born again, it's because their spirit is yearning for their creator that they have not yielded or received. But you, child of God, you are the one that will receive the reward. You are the one that will receive the blessing because you are the one that is yielding to my voice and you are the one that is choosing to be obedient. And in every step that you take following me, you will fulfill the plan and the purpose that I have uniquely designed and set aside for you. No one else can fill those shoes. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you, Lord, this morning. Let's just lift our hands this morning. Father, we just open ourselves up to you. And we thank you, Father, for your love. Lord, I just ask you, Lord, for strength this morning. Boldness, Father, as we step forward in this new direction of life. Father, we want to remain hungry and teachable and sensitive to your voice, your word. In Jesus' name.